I'm just going to skip the second reading. Is that okay with everyone? Let us pray. Dear God, make us masters of ourselves, that we might become the servants of others. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Through Christ. Amen. I'm not from Michigan, and I'm not from Ohio either. I'm from Illinois, but I do want to recognize an important event, significant event in our lives now that we are here in Michigan. How about that football game yesterday? I know I've divided the congregation at this time, but let's just recognize that some of our folks did well, and we applaud that. It's an important time of the year. Hope you've all had a wonderful Thanksgiving and enjoying time with family and friends, and hope that we were all faithful in our giving thanks. And Jesus healed 10 lepers, and only one turned around and said thank you. I hope all of us were 1 out of 10 and were thankful this weekend and continue to be thankful on this Thanksgiving weekend. But it is the first Sunday in the season of Advent, a season that means coming, a season of preparation. I love seeing the candles and the greenery in the Advent candle here and hanging the greens after this service today. What fun. We are preparing our hearts for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord knows we need him more than ever. What a world we live in. One problem with the world in which we live is that it is full of know-it-alls. There are political know-it-alls, people who want to tell us how to think about the country in which we live and who we should vote for. There are financial know-it-alls who want to tell us what is going to happen in the market, what is going to happen in the economy. It's always watch out, bad news is coming. Are we anticipating a recession next year? Yes, that's what several are saying. People want to tell us exactly how to conduct our financial affairs. And then there's personal know-it-alls. Maybe you met someone this weekend or this Thanksgiving in your family who loves to tell you how to live your life. Or a friend who loves to tell you what to do next. We don't have to look very far to find someone who seems to know it all and is more than willing to share it with us. The world in which we live is full of know-it-alls. Jesus was not. And he does not want his disciples to be know-it-alls either. This sermon is about learning to live with what we don't know. Our scripture reading this morning from Matthew's Gospel finds Jesus at the Mount of Olives, outside of Jerusalem, speaking to his disciples. Our passage today is just part of what Jesus said on this occasion. With his disciples gathered around him, Jesus foretells the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Truly, I tell you, Jesus says, not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down. The disciples are aghast. This is a cataclysmic event. This is like Michigan beating Ohio State at Ohio State. The temple is a foundational part of the disciples' lives. It's a foundational part of Jewish identity. It's the center of their world. And Jesus is saying it will be gone. Not one stone left upon another. Naturally, they're fearful and they ask Jesus, well, tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age. The end of the age. Like, this isn't just the destruction of the building, it's the destruction of the world as we know it. When's this going to happen? Our reading today is Jesus' answer. But about that day and hour, Jesus responds, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven, nor the Son of Man, but only the Father. Jesus is talking about the day and the hour of his return, the day and the hour when the world will change, when the world as we know it will no longer be. He's talking about his second advent. Jesus was born as a baby in Jerusalem. This is the first advent. Throughout his life, Jesus tells his disciples that he will come again at the end of history and God will reign forever and ever. And this is the second advent. But in regards to the second advent, no one knows when. No one knows the day or the hour. No one knows, not even Jesus himself. No one knows, only God knows when this will take place. Here's an idea that's vastly misunderstood. Jesus' return, his second advent. People imagine Jesus' return like an action thriller movie, in which Jesus comes back as a superhero, judges people, takes some, leaves some, and then everything falls apart as someone like Bruce Willis tries to fix it until the end of the movie. This is not what Jesus is alluding to. Jesus' second advent is more of a fulfillment than a judgment. It's a time when the world as we know it becomes the world that God intended at creation. No more injustice. No more disappointment and discouragement. No more tears, we are told. No more feeling alone, unseen, unloved. No more going through the motions, like everything is okay, when in reality, it's not okay at all. There will come a day and an hour when Jesus will return, and what this means is there will come a day and a time when God will reign. When in the end, there will be music. Glorious, fulfilling, promised kept, to the glory of God. And this future is coming towards us. It's not that we are just moving in a direction toward that. The future, this future is coming towards us. Just as Christmas is coming towards us. But when it will arrive, no one knows. Jesus makes this point in three examples. First, he reminds the disciples that in the days of Noah, people went about their life as usual right up to the moment when they were swept away. There was no call to repentance, nothing to alert them what was coming. They knew nothing, Jesus says, until the flood came. They knew nothing. Second, Jesus talks about two working in a field. One is taken, one is left. Third, Jesus talks about two women grinding meal together. One is taken, one is left. There's no judgment here. There's no one who is right and one who is not right with God. The emphasis on the suddenness and the unexpectedness of it all, that they didn't know. No one knows. No one knows the hour or the day when this will all take place. And here's the problem. We hate to admit it, but we hate to admit what we don't know. like to convey that we know it all. When it comes to the larger things in life, however, we do not know. We do not know why the world is the way that it is. We do not know why there is so much injustice, why things are not improving but getting worse, why the innocent suffer and the not so innocent seem to be so successful. If we are conservative, we see the world one way. If we are progressive, we see things another way, but actually, no one knows. Every time you're watching TV or the news, or however you attend to the world, somebody is telling you something about what's going to happen or why things are the way they are. Remember these words of Jesus. And the truth is, we don't really understand people either. We think we can figure people out in 10 seconds. Meet someone, get an impression, we think we know all about them by the label that we put on them. We think we know why people make poor choices and worse decisions. What were you thinking? We say in exasperation because we think we know. We think we know exactly what they were thinking and why they do the things they do. But the truth is, we don't know ourselves. We don't know why we do certain things, why we can't do other things. We don't know why we commit sins of omission and sins of commission. We don't know why things don't turn out the way we had dreamed. No one knows. We don't know others, and we don't know ourselves. We just don't know as much as we think we do. We tend to be overly confident in our opinions and our perspectives because our default setting is omniscient, all-knowing. Our default setting is, I know it, I can solve it, I can fix it, I can remedy it, I can make it better, I can make it right. It's an enormous burden to carry, to think you can just make it right. Or if anybody would just listen to you, then it would be right. The problem with a know-it-all attitude like ours is that it just takes God out of the big picture. When we think, communicate, act, and live like we know it all, where is the room for God in our lives? Our know-it-all default setting makes us what Canadian philosopher Charles Taylor calls buffered selves. Buffer, meaning we put a buffer around us, around our thinking, around our perception, around our opinions. We put a buffer around. So it's very hard for anything from the outside to get in. A buffered self does not welcome new ideas, new concepts, new perspectives. It causes us to spend all our energy on affirming and confirming what we already know. And this, by the way, is the number one critique that kids have of their parents, right? No new ideas can get in. And God cannot get in to challenge us. God cannot get in to change us. God simply cannot get in. No one knows. Jesus tells his disciples, so do this. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Therefore, you must always be ready for for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Keep awake. Be ready. This is all going to be unexpected, Jesus says. And what Jesus is doing here is encouraging his disciples to make room for God in their lives. To make room for God to get in from the outside. To make room for God to be God and to make things happen. What Jesus is doing here is encouraging his disciples to become what Charles Taylor calls porous selves. Not buffered selves, but porous, meaning things from the outside can get in. New ideas are welcome. New concepts are invited. New perspectives are summoned and can get in. And what this means is that God can get in too and do something totally new and entirely unexpected. Can someone give you a gift that you would be surprised about? I mean, that you didn't guess, that you didn't anticipate, that you didn't say, here's what I need. Can somebody give you a gift, an unexpected gift, that would surprise you? When's the last time that happened? When's the last time somebody gave you something and it just bowled you over? Doesn't happen very many times in our lives, does it? Because nothing new gets in. We're hard to surprise. Now here's the corollary question. When's the last time you gave a gift that really surprised someone? A gift that you didn't ask, hey, what do you want for Christmas this year? A gift that wasn't just a vacuum cleaner or a bowling ball. A gift that really expressed something of who you are, how you feel about this person. A gift that you had to think about and imagine, and ponder, and struggle. Dream about a gift that really caught somebody unexpected. That's my challenge this year for you. Start thinking about it now. It's going to take a month. This person you love, child that you love, special friend, think about what is something that's not just a thing, but it's a thing with meaning. Or something that I could do that's not just a chore I'm taking care of, but something with meaning, something that expresses the depth and the significance of how you feel about the relationship and surprises them. This is what Christmas is all about. The surprising, unexpected gift of Jesus. Coming with a promise that this didn't just happen a long time ago, but it's going to happen again. This future that's coming towards us, Jesus, another surprising gift. Keep awake, be ready. We are to live as if God is about to act decisively and dramatically. We are to live in anticipation and expectation of what God is about to do. We are to live with a continuing sense of readiness that we are about to behold Jesus coming to us and changing everything. And when we do, we will be energized. We will be porous selves, and God can get in and create a fire within us, a fire that anticipates what God is about to do with great significance, and we'll have new energy, and we'll see the people we love differently, and we just might have an idea for a gift that we could give that's unexpected as well. The world's full of know-it-alls. it's blaring at you now about what gifts you can give. But Jesus was not a know-it-all and does not want us to be either. Instead of being know-it-alls, Jesus wants us to be the kind of people who know the one who was born in Bethlehem for us, and we know the one who is coming again for us. Jesus wants us to be the kind of people who live by faith, accepting what no one knows and trusting God